Pat McCorkle founded the company. I was actually an actor for 20 years, and I was able to make a living at acting. Actually, Pat McCorkle cast me in a lot of productions. She did, and then she cast me as her husband. We've been married 25 years. Thank you, yes. It's working out well. What's that? It's a good role. It's a non-equity role, but there are a lot of benefits.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast, insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
All right, everybody, get ready for takeoff. Thank you so much again for joining us. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. This is Casting Actors Cast. This is the Maiden Voyage podcast. That means this is the first time I'm doing this. And this podcast is really for actors, about actors, about acting, about the business of show. And I'm here to answer your questions, to give you some insights and share some background information, sort of a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to be an actor in this business from a casting director. I'm a casting director with McCorkle Casting in New York City. Pat McCorkle founded the company back in 1979. And you can check out our website at McCorkleCasting.com, McCorkle Casting.com. And you can see the many projects that we've been doing over the years. Gosh, we've got over 50-plus Broadway shows, 50 or 60 off-Broadway shows, 48 TV projects, 52, 53 films, feature films that we've worked on over the years. And in addition to all that work, we are also casting directors for a lot of the regional theaters in the country, for many of them anyway, five or six. We cast, for example, we cast the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. We cast St. Louis Repertory Theater, Baltimore Center Stage, Pittsburgh Public Theater, Barrington Stage Company, George Street Playhouse. I know I'm missing one, so please forgive me for those of you who might be listening that know that we also do some other stuff. So we're extremely busy office. I started as an actor and acted professionally for over 20 years. Did a lot of theater, lots of television commercials, lots and lots of voiceover work. I did soap operas when they were really popular. Not so much anymore. And the last Broadway show I did was A Few Good Men. I was in the original cast. I did over 500 performances on Broadway. And around that time, I thought, gosh, you know, what else am I going to do? What should I do with the rest of my life? I sort of achieved the childhood dream of being on Broadway. And I'd worked really hard during that 20-year period. I was really grateful that I didn't have to wait on tables. I was able to make a living acting. So I was really, really gratitude, I guess, is the best word I can share with you about that. And then I ended up, through a bizarre series of circumstances, I ended up becoming an executive director of a radio and television broadcast training school. And that's where I just fell in love with teaching, curriculum development, and helping performers achieve their dream of being on the air, whether it was in television news, whether it was being a weather person or being on the radio. And that was shortly thereafter that Pat McCorkle asked me to jump on board and see if I could help her out in the casting world. And so this whole podcast idea came about because of my love of teaching and really having an insane but yet absolute committed desire to give back what was given to me when I was acting. And also, to be a little overly unmodest about this, I really wanted to give actors an opportunity to learn some things that I wish I had known when I had started acting. So today's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about exactly what casting and casting directors do, And we've got a lot of future casts coming up that I hope you're going to tune into, because as we grow together and as you learn and then you start asking some questions and I can respond, and then we can really have an interesting dialogue about the business. And hopefully you'll have a better time of it. You'll be able to embrace this business. And in a future cast, I'm going to definitely talk to you about why this is a really great time to be an actor. And I'm not kidding. There's a lot going on, and you're really in a great place to embrace what the future has to offer. And so we love actors at McCorkleCasting.com. After all, Pat McCorkle married one. Let's talk a little bit about what a casting director actually does. I think the best way to think of a casting director is that we are personal shoppers for the producer or the director. Well, you know what a personal shopper is. I mean, they go out, they look at the color and the cut and of clothing, and they decide whether or not it would look good on the client. And then the client has the opportunity to take a look at those choices and then say, yeah, that fits. That looks really great. Or, gosh, you know what? That's not quite the color I was looking for, so I'm not going to kind of do that. And so casting people are personal shoppers. We are hired by the producer and or the director or production company to fulfill the vision of the project. That's our job. I think another way to think of casting people is that we are designers. We're the designers of the talent. So I actually think that we should be called talent designers. Casting directors is the name that caught on, but if you think about it, if you're in a theater project, for example, if you're acting in a play, you know you've got the lighting designer, the set designer, the costume designer, you've got the sound designer. Well, I think casting people should be thought of as the designer of the talent. We put together and assemble the best quality talent based on what the producer and the director are looking for. So when we put together and assemble a cast, it really is important that we're not just glorified secretaries filling appointments for actors, that we really make a concerted effort to put the type of cast together that's going to achieve the common goal that's set forth by the project itself. And so, gosh, what I love about casting is that no 2 days are alike. Every day, something unusual or something different is going on. And that makes it exciting for us, just as for an actor. No 2 days are alike for an actor. There's always a new audition. There's always a new project. There's always something that can be done that you can work on to make your work better. And so, with our podcast today, Casting Actors Cast, from a casting director's point of view, hopefully you'll get some insights into exactly what takes place during an audition. Perhaps you'll gain some knowledge about the way that casting directors look at actors for particular projects. The things that you can do to actively make yourself much more of a member of this amazing community of talent that's out there. Now, this doesn't mean you have to be in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago or Atlanta. These are all great theater towns, by the way. But there are some universal truths about casting that you should know. And so we'll be talking about those in upcoming broadcasts. So I do a lot of teaching and workshops. I travel around the country to do these things. I do workshops in both voiceover work as well as auditioning workshops, on-camera workshops. I think in some upcoming episodes, we're going to talk about something that's really, I think, vitally important right now, and that is with today's technology, we're getting a lot of submissions, video submissions for theater projects even, but film and television projects and also theater projects. So self-submitting videos is something that I really would like to spend a little bit of time on and hope that you're interested as well. I think the downside is a lot of actors think that they know how to do it, that they just kind of have their cell phone and they hold it up and then they shoot themselves doing the scene and then they send it to us. And I'm here to tell you that I've actually literally seen actors get cast or get dismissed based on the quality of their self-submit video. I think the other issue is that a lot of us believe that we know how to do it, and so we don't really give it much thought. But I'm here to definitely want to give you some thoughts about how to do that well and how to make yourself that much more employable by having these just simple techniques. And by the way, these are learned things. These have nothing to do with your talent. This has everything to do with just giving yourself a basic structure so that you can focus on the really important thing, which is your audition. So at the moment with this podcast going on, our office has been invited to at least 100 showcases here in New York taking place right now. And it's kind of amazing that colleges and universities across the country with their MFA and their BFA training programs decide to bring their classes to New York, and they invite industry folks, agents, managers, casting folks, network people to come and watch these showcases. But we've been inundated with these showcases from these colleges and universities across the country. Many of them are quite wonderful. A lot of the agencies, for example, will use these showcases as a method by which they can bring in new talent to represent. And casting people like going as well, because they kind of get an inside idea about the quality of the work that's taking place at these various colleges and universities. And truthfully, we don't have the time nor the personnel in our office to go to every one of these showcases. And so we have to be discriminating about which universities or colleges whose reputations we might know about. And we go and try to participate as much as we can. The reason I'm bringing this up is I think as an early question, and I'm really not sure who our audience is right now. I'm hoping it's maybe young actors in training. Maybe there are a few of you out there who are interested in going into the business and maybe want to learn a little bit more about what has to happen before you can really call yourself a professional actor. But many of you also maybe have been a professional for a while and are just looking for maybe some inside support and guidance. But that's what I'm here to do and hopefully get that support. But let's talk a little bit about this. Do you think a BFA or an MFA degree makes a difference? Do you think that getting out of high school and not even going to college can be an okay choice for an actor? Do you think that just going to a conservatory training program or one of the many, many, many training classes or schools or programs there are here in New York that don't give you a degree necessarily, but maybe give you a one-year conservatory training in the profession. Do you think any of those make a difference in an acting career? You know, I think there's no really one answer for that. I believe that there are some people who are young people, for example, who really have the right kind of energy and have the right look and have the right mental, emotional, and physical attributes to make them very successful early on. Because there are young people out there at an early age who are doing this work. Heck, you might even be one of them. But I think the question becomes that actors really have to sort of search themselves, search their souls, and decide exactly what their goals are. And it's very difficult for an actor to know what that is. It's very difficult for an actor to brand themselves. I know that got really popular, that word branding got really popular for a while, a few years back, and then it became really kind of a silly thing to say. And I'm kind of thinking it's not a silly thing. Your brand, and this does not have to do with your type. I really am so over that, hearing people say my type. We don't even use that word in our office. The reality is that it's your uniqueness as an actor that gets you the job. It's not your sameness. So fitting yourself into a category is neither useful nor creative nor interesting. But being able to explore who you are fully and at what time in your training, in your life experience, are you ready to enter the profession? That's a question only you can answer. But I can certainly offer some opinions and give you some guidance on that. So I think with today's technology, there are a lot of opportunities to learn about the business of show. I think that there's a lot of really good training programs out there that are really helpful for actors. I'm not sure that an actor is better off staying into an MFA program. After all, you're 2 or 3 years older, and that means that there are 2 or 3 years of growth on your part. So that might be helpful emotionally and mentally, and even in terms of your acting technique. But then again, if you look at the current trends in the industry, you're finding that it's still about young people. It's still about the youthful energy of all of those projects that are being asked for. That's going to be a tough evaluation. If, on the other hand, you've had no acting experience and you thought, gosh, I really wonder what it takes to be an actor, I'm a real positive person. As I alluded to earlier, this is a great time to be an actor just because there's so much opportunity out there, so much more opportunity than there was. And some opportunities have been replaced. For example, we don't see soap operas anymore thanks to reality TV shows. But we are seeing actors producing their own product by doing webisodes, for example. So people are writing and producing and acting and starring. And, you know, it's been an amazing thing about that right now. Also, we're seeing a lot of the new networks coming and doing their own programming. Amazon, for example. You know what I'm talking about. Netflix, Amazon. I mean, it's really... really quite incredible, and I really believe that this trend in the industry is going to continue to grow in that direction. And I also think theater, for example, is going to continue to grow. I don't think theater is dead, like some people like to say. What I think is going to happen is I think we're going to be seeing smaller, more intimate venues doing more interesting and out there kinds of material that's not just meant for everybody, but a unique perspective material that we're going to be seeing in these smaller black box spaces. I think that that's going to continue to grow because I think the human element in live theater is unmatched. And I think that the ideas that are coming out with this new programming have just been astounding and really, really good writing. And for example, the success of This Is Us, the writers are playwrights. So you really get some exceptionally written, well-written material there. But going back to this notion of what do you do given your situation? If this is what you want, if you want to become an actor, what are the best choices out there for you? College, BFA degree, MFA degree? Is it better just to go to New York and take some classes? Again, no one is going to have the right answer, but I empathize with the dilemma, and that's what I want to share with you. And if you have some thoughts or some questions and would like to share some information, you can do that pretty easily. CastingActorsCast.com, castingactorscast, all one word, .com. And there's a place for you to put some comments. And I'd love to include that in future episodes so that as we continue to have the conversation, it would really be great to have your contribution as well. There are so many subjects that I'd like to cover in our future webcasts on Casting Actors Cast. But let me just throw out a few topics. I'd love to do a whole thing on 8x10s, for example. Common mistakes. 8x10s are still the calling card in the industry, and you really need to know what goes into a good photograph. It's many uses, both in websites and even at auditions, and there's just some common mistakes I see in 8x10s. Along the same lines, resumes. What should you put on your resume? If you've got a lot of credits and you've done a lot of good work, which is the most important things that you think we should see? On the other hand, if you have very little and you really want to jump into the business with both feet, how do you make that happen? So those are some thoughts that I want to share with you as well. So just a whole cool spectrum. And I just want to express my gratitude for those of you who are supportive. And I really do hope that you can continue to join us. I'm going to try to keep all of these podcasts to about 21, 22 minutes or so, just so that they can kind of be an easy part of your week. So finally, once again, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you got a little bit out of this today, and there's so much more to come. I can't wait to share it with you. Thank you for joining us on Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.